Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. Today, we welcome into the Cigar Lounge a very special guest. This is episode 26. It is the end of season one. So today, we bring into the Cigar Lounge Joe Cursillo. Joe, welcome to the Cigar Lounge. Joe, you're on mute. Oh, sorry. I'm here. Sorry. Hey, everybody. Well, Joe, let's start off. I've asked everybody the same question when we start. You want to tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, yeah, I can. I'm kind of all over the place. I do a lot of things. The majority of what I do involves what I call the generalist's advantage. It is a multidisciplinary way of thinking, and I use it as a tool in consulting and working with my clients who are CEOs. And I also speak about the topic. Tell us a little bit about what does that mean, the generalist advantage?
Well, through my life, I've had a number of careers, an engineer, an artist, a lawyer, as most of you know, and I had been political advisor. I've owned a restaurant. I've done a lot of things. And the generalist advantage is basically me just taking everything I've ever learned and teaching people to incorporate everything they've ever successfully done to create a much better and more robust life and be better at everything they do.
Well, Joe, is there something that you could tell us that if somebody was going to get into the speaking or consulting business, what advice would you give them? And I think I've asked this to other people saying, if you could give advice to your 16-year-old self, what would that be?
When I was 16, when I was 16, I probably would have told myself to date someone else other than the woman I was dating, because that didn't end well.
Well, Joe, I'm actually talking about your career.
Oh, I didn't realize. All right, I'm sorry. I was trying to answer the question as best as I could. With regard to my career, when I was 16, I was an artist. It's pretty much what I did full time, in school, out of school. And I don't know. I guess I would have told myself to do what my heart says, follow your heart and do what you want to do. Because basically that's what I did.
Well, Joe, let me ask you this. Throughout your career and throughout everything that you have done, who has been your biggest supporter, mentor, and role model?
Oh, well, that's easy. I think my biggest supporter is my family. My family has stuck with me every time I change careers or every time I do something different or go out left field and try something new. Probably my greatest mentor would have been Charlie Tremendous Jones. Charlie was phenomenal, was my best friend. I always jokingly say, I wish I knew I was going to become a speaker when I was with Charlie and when he was alive. But back then, I had no desire to speak. I just loved being around him because he was just a great influence.
Well, could you tell us a little bit more? I mean, when you say an influence, he was a well-known motivational speaker, a Cavett Award winner. And what was it like being around him?
You know, Charlie, he was just a great guy. I mean, I knew him. I saw him on stage. I knew what he did as a speaker. But Charlie just opened his life to me and introduced me to some of the coolest people in the world. I mean, through him, I got to know Zig Ziglar. I got to know Truett Cathy, Herb True, Ken Blanchard. And to me, they were just regular people that we would sit at lunch with and talk to. And I think getting to know people as humans who some people saw as God's great authors and powerful people, it was just nice to get to know them the way they are.
Well, Joe, that's interesting, and I appreciate it. Let me move on. Can you tell us what is it that motivates you to get up and go in the morning? What is it that gets you out of bed and excites you?
Oh, I guess I want to say that's easy. Every day to me is different. Even when I was practicing law and I owned a law office, every day something different was on the horizon. I never had the same kind of a thing happening to me at any one time. I would have different kinds of cases I was handling. I would deal with people differently. And then when I got bored, I would do something crazy like open a mail order business, or I'd start booking magic shows, or I opened a restaurant. I always found something to keep me excited, something new on the horizon. And I guess the get up and go is because to me, every day is different than the day before it. And I kind of want to know two things: what that day is going to hold for me, and what new thing I can learn that day. Because that to me is the most important thing, is I don't like to go to bed at night without knowing that I've learned something new.
Well, Joe, if that philosophy ever leaves you getting stuck, or you feel like you just don't have something new to learn or do, can you tell us how you handle that?
Well, yeah, I mean, frankly, create something new. I know people that know me know that I have a lot of stories to tell. And it's because the way I lived my life, I don't.
Well, yes, Joe, everybody that knows you just tell stories. No matter what happens, you have one. And I'm sure you can explain why.
Well, yeah, I can. I mean, sometimes you have to make a choice in life and you get to a decision and a crossroad and you think to yourself, what's the right thing? What's the wrong thing? What's good? What's bad? I personally just choose the path that has the best story. I care about the outcome. I care about the excitement, but I need the story. I need to have my life be something more. So I always follow the path that's going to give me the greatest story and the greatest tale to tell, even if that path leads me to failure and ruin, because I know I can come back from it. But I'm excited about what I learn when it happens.
Well, Joe, when you say it could lead to ruin, can you tell us an example of one of the biggest mistakes or failures you've had in your career? And what did you learn from it?
Oh, I've had a number of them. I guess if I had to pick the biggest failure in my career, it would have been... I really am at a loss. I'm not sure exactly what to pick because there's so many different things. And I'm going to say, I guess the biggest failure in my career would have been when I went into the restaurant business. And it's not because I was in the restaurant business. It's a very tough business to be in. We had great food. We had a great restaurant. But I call it a failure because I picked the wrong business partners. And don't get me wrong, Santo and Frank are still two of my best friends today. But in terms of business, I realized we had completely different philosophies and I had to get out of it. I walked away after about 11 months because it just wasn't going in the direction I wanted. And frankly, it wasn't making me happy anymore. And I lost a lot. I lost a lot of time, a lot of money, but I think in the end, I learned a lot from it. So I would consider that to be one of the biggest failures. But what I learned really is that you need to know who you're going into business with. When you're partnering with someone, when you're working with someone, you really have to have parameters laid out. You have to know what the boundaries are. And I can't urge that enough, because you might like people, you might love people, but if you don't have a plan, things are going to happen that are going to upset the apple cart. I mean, our plan was simple. Frank was the sous chef and manager, Santo was the chef, and I managed the floor. Unfortunately, I found out very quickly that when I fired two waitresses and the chef refused to cook because I fired waitresses, I realized, yeah, the chef has a little bit of power here, because if he's not cooking, my floor wasn't running. So I ended up having to hire back two waitresses that I wanted fired because I forgot the balance of power. So keep in mind, you got to have a plan and you got to balance that all out. Well, Joe, have you ever had an opportunity to give people advice specifically related to the speaking business?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. I tell everybody that comes to me, the speaking business is the easiest business in the world to get into. It's real easy to say, I'm a speaker. But the speaking business, as easy it is to get into, it is the hardest business to stay in. You have to find a way to make yourself relevant, a way to make yourself stand out, and you've got to keep at it. You can't back off.
Well, Joe, what are some of the common myths about our business?
Oh, well, I think the biggest myths in our business is people look at it from the outside and they only see the big names, and they think that people in the speaking business are rolling in dough and they're out on glitzy, glamorous stages, when in reality, sometimes you're just speaking against a white wall on a platform in a hotel. But every audience in every place like that is great for me. I love it. But I think people have this delusion of what a speaker is, and they think it's much more glamorous than it sometimes is. And frankly, they don't understand how much work it is.
Do you, Joe, let me ask you this, Joe. Do you consider yourself to be successful?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's hard to answer because I do so many different things. I've been successful in some things and other things not so successful. But I can tell you this, if I measure it based on the fact that I don't do anything unless I'm having fun, as long as I'm having fun, as long as I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I consider that success. I mean, I got to have fun. And frankly, you can't have fun unless you're paying the bills. So, you know, the bills are paid. I'm having fun. Yes, I consider myself successful.
Well, how long did it take you to see success? How long did it take you before you felt successful?
Well, I mean, I kind of said to you, I just told you I did a lot of different things. And I guess when I put them all together and I think about it, this is a really weird question because I don't know when I saw success. I think I just wake up every day and start over. So I don't know. I just think yesterday was successful, the day before was, and it's early in the morning today, and I'm hoping it's successful today. It's one day at a time.
Joe, let me ask you this. In terms of success, how is it that you want to be remembered?
Oh, well, that's easy. I mean, number one, I like to be thought of as a family man. Even when I had my law firm, our motto was family first. I do everything for the family. I guess that's an Italian thing. But I guess in a grand scheme of things, the way I want to be remembered is the way I do every mind reading show that I do or every speech that I do. Is I want people, when I am done, to feel like they had a great time, that they enjoyed themselves, that they laughed. And then when they wake up the next morning, I want to know that they reflected and went, oh my God, that was amazing. He got into my head and I don't know how. Or, oh wow, he really understood me. He was speaking directly to me. I want that impact to be something that lasts beyond that night and something they feel the next day. So if people remember me that way, I think I'd be happy.
Well, Joe, have you ever thought about giving up?
No, I don't. I think that's part of the difficulty of being me is every time I get bored, I don't think about giving up. I just start doing something else. And that's kind of what I do.
Well, Joe, when you say you get bored and start to do something else, like what are you talking about?
Well, this is
I mean, today I'm sitting here this morning and I worked on some marketing videos for YouTube. I polished off an article. I practiced guitar. I was painting in my back room. I blew off the gym today, so I can't tell you I worked out. But I change what I do constantly.
Well, Joe, what is it you feel when you change? What is it that you choose to do next? Why do you change, and what makes you decide what you're going to do?
You know, I guess that's an interesting question. I don't know that I've thought about that. I think that the answer is that when my creative side gets taxed, I want to do something physical. So, you know, I finished editing an article, and to me, writing it was creative, but editing it and putting it together, there's a very technical side, and I was worried about how it would sound. So when I got done that, I felt taxed and exhausted. So I picked up a paintbrush and just painted paint on a canvas for a while until my head was back in gear. And then I came back in and worked on videos. I just try to keep my brain balanced. And I'm not one on right brain, left brain. I think we're all whole brained, but we just don't know it. So I just try to use my whole brain at all times.
Looking into the future, can you tell us, is there an initiative or some idea on your whiteboard, something that you have in your planning, or I don't know how you keep it, whether you do it as a vision board, a whiteboard, is there something that you're looking at in the future that was not there 30 days ago?
No, I don't think so. I've been working for 6 months to do a rebrand, and I think that pretty much has occupied my whiteboard. So if I'm looking at it correctly here, I mean, everything has geared towards that. I guess the only thing I'm looking at the board, and I'm thinking the only thing not on it, is that I am focusing right now on picking up some more consulting work. So I have been meeting with some of my CEOs to come in as their consultant rather than as a speaker. And I don't think that's something I was planning a month ago. It just started in the last couple of weeks where I just started to realize I was having fun doing consulting. So it's fun. And I mean, it's sort of like speaking, because in some of them, I'm being booked to speak to their C-suite. So my audience is just one group of 6 people, the other one's 13 or 14. So that wasn't something I was planning on a couple weeks ago. So I guess that's safe to say is something new.
Joe, I've asked other people this question, and I want to ask you, if you had 10 times the budget you currently have, what would you spend it on?
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I know me, I think I'd probably put it back into my business in the way of marketing. I would probably accelerate some of my marketing because I love what I do. I might put it into, maybe I'd put it into developing my own program that I could do live somewhere. I don't know. If I had that much money, I think that's probably what I would do, is put it back into my business. I always tell the story of a guy named Butch Petrini. Butch was a friend of mine back in my younger days. And he owned a concrete company where they did concrete pumping. And one night on a Wednesday night, I came home from the construction site, and I was working as an iron worker. And I turned on television, and there's Butch Petrini. He was the first winner of a $6 million lottery in Pennsylvania when that was a big deal. And the next morning, I went to the construction site, and there was Butch Petrini. And he's running the concrete truck, pumping concrete like he always did. And I said to him, I said, wow, you just got $6 million and you're here. And he looked at me and said, yeah, I can afford the new trucks that I was looking to buy. And that stuck with me. And I always realized that if you love what you're doing, no matter how much money you have, if you put it back into your business, into yourself, you're going to be happier in the long run.
Joe, do you have a time of day when you get your best work done? Do you have a way of getting things done that you could share with us, or some kind of productivity hack in terms of day timing?
Well, I guess that's actually two questions, Joe. I'm thinking that's two questions, so I'll answer them that way. First of all, there is no best time of day for me to get work done. If I had to pick a time and I was forced into it, I would say that I'm probably a wolf. I'm more of a night owl. I get most productivity done when everyone else is sleeping because I love to work in moonlight. It's when I think clearer. It's when the day's over and I've done everything I had to do and my mind opens up. And then as to a productivity hack, I guess the answer is I look at my calendar. I put everything on my calendar. My calendar tells me when I'm going to play the guitar. It tells me what I'm going to do tomorrow. It tells me what I'm going to do today for the rest of the day. Even if it's just reading or it's writing or researching. And I even have on my calendar for tomorrow morning to wake up and spend an hour studying new magic tricks. I don't know what that's going to look like, but that's what I'm going to do for an hour before my mani-pedi, which I have to go to at 11. So, but it's all on my calendar. And that is a hack that I think is important. I did it as a lawyer and I schedule everything. Joe, let me ask you, what personality trait or behavior, what strength do you have that you believe keeps you thriving in your job?
I think probably I could tell you it's, I love when shit hits the fan. Oh, can I say shit? I'm sorry. Sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, no, but I do. I love when poo-poo hits the fan. I love when things go wrong. I love when everything explodes. And at that moment, I always think of Rudyard Kipling, because at that moment, the first thought that runs through my head is, I have to keep my head about me when all others are losing theirs. And I think that ability to head into a storm calmly is something I have done my whole life. It's what made me successful as a lawyer. It's what makes me successful as a political advisor. And frankly, it's what made me successful as an engineer, because I was the owner's rep and inspector. So I only went in when there were problems back then. And I always loved tackling dilemmas.
Joe, let me, if you could start a business, any business you wanted other than what you're doing now, what would you like to try?
I don't think I have one. I really don't. I mean, everything I've ever thought about doing, I just do. So no, I don't have any ideas of what else I would do.
Well, Joe, before we close out, can you tell people how to reach you? We always like to end these with some contact information.
Oh, sure. It's just easy. joe@joecursillo.com. Is my email address. Reach out to me anytime you want. My cell phone number is on my website, joecursillo.com. Just give me a shout. I'm always around. And I think most people in Cigar Peg know how to find me.
Well, Joe, let me ask you one last question. Is there anything that, I don't know, maybe, let me ask you this. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you thought, oh my God, I hope he doesn't ask me that?
Wow. That's not fair. What do you want me to be honest? I mean, what are you going to do? Listen to me. I'm going to tell you what I didn't think. That makes no sense to me. Why would I tell you something that I didn't want you to ask, but I'm going to bring it up now all by myself? I mean, what are you going to do? Listen to me, hear me talk about something I don't want to discuss, and then send it to my parole officer? I mean, come on, isn't that how it's going to work? Well, I mean, okay, not that I have a parole officer, but if I start talking about things that I don't, you know what? I'm going to end up with one if I keep talking. So I refuse to answer that question. And frankly, I'm out of here. I'm done.
Well, Joe, it was a pleasure having you. Thank you for being here. Joe, you're muted again. Is that intentional? Oh, well, I guess so.
Joe has muted himself and refuses to speak anymore. So let me all tell you, I thank you for joining us in the Cigar Lounge.
And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.